But I don't believe that Dharma practice is linear in that sort of way. I think it's significant that actually the path that is most often referred to in Buddhism is the Noble Eightfold Path, yeah? The Arya Ashtanga Marga. So Ashtanga as eight means eight-limbed, rather than so Ashtanga as in Ashtanga Yoga. It's the same basic principle, eight aspects to it. So it's not a path with eight stages. You don't start off with, oh, what do you start off with? Right vision, energy, da-di-da-di-da. You know, you don't go through each of the stages of the Noble Eightfold Path sequentially. That's not how it works. It's that there are eight limbs, there are eight different paths, as it were, eight different aspects to Dharma practice that one works on in different ways. And that's why the main image of, one of the reasons that the main image of Buddhism, the symbol of Buddhist teachings, is that eight-spoked Dharma wheel, yeah? Each of the spokes representing one of the eight limbs of the Eightfold Path. So let's go back to the story again, yeah? Milarepa begins by building the tower. I think it's interesting, I think it's significant that in the text, Marpa doesn't tell him what sort of tower to build. Yeah? But Milarepa goes off and he builds a round tower. Yeah? And I think that relates to us. We learn a bit about the Dharma. I think he was being, you know, he's built his practice in a particular way that makes sense to him. Yeah? I think the fact that it's round is quite interesting. It's kind of, this is the whole of it. It's contained, as it were. Yeah? It's complete. I've got this idea about the Dharma and it's complete and I'm going to get on with it. Yeah? Is this making sense to people? Looking vaguely like it's not complete nonsense. But Marpa's a good teacher. Yeah? He has great insight. Unlike myself, perhaps unlike most of us, he can see the consequences of what's going to happen if Milarepa keeps going in this particular way. So he stops him. You know, he thinks he's getting this sort of sense. His sense of practice is too structured. It's too closed in a way. This round tower. So he tells him, you need to take this all down. You need to start again. You need to reconstruct your sense of what Dharma practice is. It's as though he's saying that to us. Yeah? What we do is we move from having a sense of ourselves as, you know, husbands, wives, partners, I don't know, butchers, computer programmers, whatever it is we do, we start to re-identify ourselves as Buddhists, as Dharma practitioners. And that's fine, in a way, it's great. Yeah. But what can tend to happen is that gets too solid. Yeah, we construct an ego of ourselves. Yeah, and I'm a Buddhist. You know, I'm a Buddhist. Being a Buddhist looks like this. I go to the center, I'm nice to my cat, I meditate every day, or nearly every day, etc., etc., etc. Yeah. And that's fantastic, but at some point, we're going to have a deeper understanding of what it really means to practice the Dharma. We're going to have to take that down below merely activities, as it were. Yeah. So we're going to have to go right down. In a way, I think that's that taking it down. It's like foundations, isn't it? We're going to have to go back down to the foundations of our practice and build again. So what happens in the story is Milarepa then builds a semicircular tower. Yeah. And the same thing happens again. He has to deconstruct it and start again. So the third tower, we start to get into sort of mystic numbers here, don't we? Third tower is triangular, and he only gets a third of the way through it before he has to take it down. I think what's interesting here is this tower's even got an identity. It's the tower of the tantric yogin. So the third yana as well, isn't it? So we've got the Hinayana, the Mahayana, and the Tantra. The third yana, the third mode of development of Buddhism. So it's kind of like, it's as though, oh, it's kind of like, well, okay, now I'm a tantric yogin and I'm going to build my practice as tantric yogin man. But that has to be deconstructed as well. Now, the fourth tower, we start to see some interesting new elements. Yeah? What happens with the fourth tower is that Marpa's instructions are much more specific. This is much clearer. Yeah? So I think we can perhaps see this as Milarepa, or perhaps as ourselves, you know, as practice has gone on, as he's reconstructed his sense of his Dharma practice again and again, he comes to more fully understand what his teacher's saying. Yeah? Remember I was saying in the first tower, Marpa doesn't actually say what shape the tower should be, but Milarepa's got this very clear idea of what it is he's got to go and do. But actually, he understands the teachings more fully now. Yeah? He's got some experience, he's worked on himself, so he's able to take that on board more fully. I think it's this section about, it's lovely, this business about him using a stone provided by more senior disciples. That's great, isn't it? Again, I think this is, you know, he has to take it down, and then he has to put it back himself. I think this is lovely, because I think, again, this is something we have to do. We don't have any choice but to do, really. We take on Dharma teachings, yeah? And some Dharma teachings are very subtle, very profound. And we, you know, we can use these subtle and profound teachings as a foundation, as a cornerstone of our practice, without fully understanding them. How could we? How could we fully understand them? We're relative novices on the path. But what happens in time, as I say, is that we are going to have to make these teachings our own. We are going to have to make these subtle and profound teachings, so the teachings of Shunyata, or whatever, Dzogchen, call it what you will. Over time, we're going to have to take out the sort of adopted understanding that we've borrowed somebody else and really penetrate the meaning of these teachings for ourselves. It's only then that we can put that back, we can really build our practice on top of these teachings on the basis of a genuine understanding of them. There's a I don't remember where it is actually, but there's another one of Sangharakshita's lovely aphorisms. He says something, whenever we learn anything about the Dharma, we have to reorganize everything else we've ever learnt about it. Yeah, it all shifts around. It all has to relocate as we come to deeper and deeper understandings. This tower isn't ever demolished. It is embellished. It is developed. Yeah? It changes focus. The focus moves from the tower itself to a shrine room. Maybe that relates to shifts in focus in our own practice. Yeah? Maybe it's to do with more devotional practice or something like that, with that shift from an edifice to the shrine room. Milarepa gets despondent, doesn't he? He goes off at one point. He leaves. He goes off to find another teacher. And he realizes, what's great, I think, what shows Milarepa as in terms of the sincerity of his practice and the sincerity of his commitment to Dharma practice, is that he realizes that that's not going to get him what he actually needs. Again, there's another lovely aphorism of Sangharakshita's, isn't there? What Milarepa's always wanting is kind of like, I want the proper Dharma. You know, you've got me on refuges and precepts. You've got me on, you know, doing this stuff. And I want the advanced teachings, yeah? And it's back to that classic thing of Sangharakshita's. There are no higher teachings. There are only deeper understandings. Yeah? So however sublime or esoteric Buddhist texts become, they're just the natural consequence, they're not a natural expression of the straightforward basic stuff that we learn in the first few weeks when we're coming along to the Buddhist Center. Just at a subtler level of comprehension, a subtler level of understanding their implications. So, in the story, I think Marpa understands where Milarepa needs to be working, what he needs to be working on. But Milarepa's ambitious, yeah? He doesn't recognize it for himself in that way, yeah? He wants to get there, you know. But he does realize his mistake when he goes off and he comes back to Marpa. I think that's very significant. So there's a number of points I'd like to just reinforce, really. We have to practice sincerely, in the best way we know how. Yeah? We've got to build a tower of practice. If you don't, well, you've got no practice. You've got to get on with it the best way we understand. Whatever our level of experience, whether we've been doing this for 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, 20 years, yeah? You just have to practice as best you understand it. And be open to the fact that as time goes on, we'll understand a little bit more. Our practice will become deeper. And we'll refine the way we work, the way we practice the Dharma, as our understanding deepens, as our comprehension, as it transforms us in a way, because it works. And it may well be, it doesn't happen to everybody, but for most of us, I think, there'll be times when we have to deconstruct a whole sense of what it means to be a Dharma practitioner and start right back from the foundations again. When this happens, it can be very unsettling. Yeah. It usually is, yeah? And it's hard to recognize it for what it is. But I think, we have to recognize that when that happens, that's actually it's a fruit of practice. I remember.